This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There was water. And then, of course, from that water rose the land. And the first place was Mecca. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Mecca as his first house. And Mecca, of course, has its place. And we all know the virtues of it. But also, Bayt al-Maqdis. Jerusalem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it, and Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمْ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً. We made Ibn Maryam, who? Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and his mother as a sign, as an ayah. وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبْوَةٍ ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ. And we gave them refuge in an area that was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rabwatin. Rabwa is like a high ground. Do you know what Bayt al-Maqdis is? On a high ground. So, and also not only high ground in terms of its place, but it's also in status also. That qararin, إِلَىٰ رَبْوَةٍ ذَاتْ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ. And then also it has its, not only that, it is also a place that has its reputation in terms of its status and also its purity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the first masjid to be al-masjid. The first masjid, of course, is al-masjid al-haram. And that's why in a hadith in Sahihain, in Sahih Bukhari, in Muslim, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, قلت, he asked the Messenger of Allah, قلت يا رسول الله, أي مسجد وضع في الأرض أولا? Like which masjid was put on this earth first and foremost? What was the first masjid? قال المسجد الحرام. He said, it is al-masjid al-haram. قُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَيْهُ. And then what else? The who, what next? He said, al-masjid al-aqsa. Al-masjid al-aqsa. قُلْتُ كَمْ بَيْنَهُمَا. What was the span between the two of them? And he said, أَرْبَعُونَ سَنَة. أَرْبَعُونَ سَنَة. 40 years between al-masjid al-haram and al-masjid al-aqsa. So the first and the second masjid is masjid al-haram and masjid al-aqsa. And right now, if you look at al-masjid al-aqsa, when people say al-masjid al-aqsa, what is it? What do people see? The dome of the rock. Is the dome of the rock part of al-masjid al-aqsa? It is part of al-masjid al-aqsa. It's also the other masjid, masjid al-qibla, the qibla, masjid al-qibla, the first one. So there's two masjids. Right, but both of them are actually, the whole area is al-masjid al-haram. The whole area is masjid al-haram. So because you see some people, they're always saying like, oh no, this is not it, that's not it. They're trying to trick you, the Yahud, they're trying to take this particular area. No, the whole thing is, forget about this part and that part, the whole area. Because the whole area is blessed. And you know, when you speak about al-masjid al-haram, what is al-masjid al-haram? Anyone know what al-masjid al-haram? What is it? During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how big was it? How big is al-masjid al-haram? Is it just the Kaaba? It's the whole city of Mecca, actually. Most people don't realize. That's why when you pray in Mecca, you pray in al-masjid al-Kaaba. The Masjid al-Kaaba is al-Masjid al-Haram. We always call it Masjid al-Haram. But actually, if you prayed anywhere in, according to the majority of the scholars, if you prayed anywhere in Mecca, the reward for it is in terms of the reward, in terms of the magnification of the reward, it's the same. It's the same. So if someone were to pray in another masjid, they would get less reward because maybe it has less people praying. Because the more people pray in a particular masjid, inshallah, the greater the reward is. But in terms of the 100,000 that you get that's multiplied, magnified, it's all of Masjid al-Haram. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. And one of the narrations, of course, the Prophet ﷺ came out of where? His house. He left Mecca from his house. Because all of that was al-masjid al-haram. All of it is al-masjid al-haram. The same with Bayt al-Maqdis. Right? All of that, that particular, all the whole area, whether you're praying in the area of the Dome of Rock or the masjid itself that's next to it, all the whole area, that all of that particular area is considered al-masjid al-aqsa. Al-masjid al-aqsa. And the area, of course, is Bayt al-Maqdis or al-Quds, the area of Jerusalem. And it's one of the unique things that as a Muslim, we are not allowed to exert effort and spend time in going for any reason to seek reward except for these three masajids. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد. لا تشد الرحال. What's تشد الرحال? That means you shouldn't even travel, like make an effort to travel. But the majority of the scholars have mentioned, of course, are you allowed to travel anywhere? As long as it's mubah, it's permissible. But what we mean here is if you're seeking reward, because there are some people who travel to certain areas, not because, why did they travel to certain areas? They travel to certain areas because they want a certain, they want to visit the grave of so-and-so. They want to visit this and that. And that's why if a person were good to go to Medina, why do you go to Medina? You go to Medina, why? Because you want to pray in Al-Masjid An-Nabawi, the Prophet's Masjid. Not because you want to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By going to Medina, you can visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to go with the intention of visiting the grave only, that's your sole intention. To go and visit any grave, even the Prophet's sallallahu alaihi wasallam grave, is something that you do not do so in terms of seeking reward as an act of worship. You said as an act of worship in and of itself. No, there's no place that you say, okay, let's see, so and so, such and such things happened, and let's say, okay, the Muslims defeated the Persians in Al-Qadisiyah. You know, we should go there to visit. And inshallah, you'll be rewarded by Allah for going to visit. Because that's where the Muslims, for example, defeated such and such an army. And defeated the Persians. Or to go to a place where, you know, so this town, because of such and such a sheikh is there, you used to live there and so forth. No. لا تشد الرحال illa ila thalathati masajid. You're not allowed to spend time seeking reward from Allah except to these three masajids. Al Masjid al Haram, right? And that's Mecca, and of course Al Masjid al Haram encompasses Al Masjid al Kaaba and all of Mecca pretty much. And of course, why do we go? We go for Hajj, we go for Umrah. If you want to go, you know, of course, if you go there, you should, you know, you when you pray, of course, seeking the reward for the magnification or the increase in the reward. And Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, meaning Al-Aqsa means the furthest masjid. Wa masjidi hadha, and this masjid of mine. So if somebody wants to go, of course, to any of these masajids, that this is where we Muslims, this is where our hearts are. This is where we want to go. You know, this is where we want to go. Another issue, for example, right now, some people are like, if you're able to go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, are you allowed to go? There's a lot of difference of opinion amongst actually contemporary scholars. Some scholars say you shouldn't even go. And the reason why, because like Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Why? Because when you're going, you're actually, because the people who are actually in charge, the hotels, the tour groups, even the Muslim tour groups, they work with Jewish tour groups. And so they want Muslims to go because they want to make money off of it, off of Muslims going to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So that's why some scholars say if you shouldn't go because then you'll be supporting the Jewish state. You shouldn't go. And that's why, well, that's a different matter. If a person in some countries, you can't even go. If you're like in as many Muslim countries, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, if you have one of those stamps, that's a no-no, right? Or they don't even stamp you because they know. If you go even with American passport, they don't stamp your passport. Because if you get a stamp on your passport by going there, you won't be able to go to any of the Muslim countries. They won't allow you to go. So they just give you like a visa that's actually a piece of paper that you put there. Because, it's not even recognized by the majority of the Muslim countries. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, also in another hadith, the first hadith, of course, is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And the other hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is in Tabarani, and the hadith is authentic with an authentic chain. As-salatu fi masjidi, fi masjid al-haram, bi mi'ati alfi salatin, fi ma siwahu. A person who prays in Al-Masjid Al-Haram gets 100,000 prayers when in comparison to the other masajids. وَصَلَاتٌ فِي مَسْجِدِ هَذَا بِأَلْفِ صَلَاتٍ. And prayer in my masjid is equivalent to 100 prayers. وَصَلَاتٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى بِخَمْسِ مِئَةِ صَلَاتٍ. And prayer in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, you get 500 rewards. 500 rewards. And so the Muslims, a Muslim's heart is connected to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So when someone speaks about the people who are suffering, the Muslims, and subhanAllah, and mashallah, the people who were there, like we can't even imagine what they're going through. Imagine just like next day, your shop, your house is destroyed. And then when everything is over, they're so quick. Like everything just continues again as if nothing happened. They go on with their life and this is normal for them. It's been like this for decades, for over 70 years. Something happens and they're so strong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to keep them strong. But this is a land of the Muslims, land of prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a land of Prophet Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub and Yusuf and Lut, Dawood, Sulaiman, Saleh, Zakaria, Yahya and Isa and other prophets of Bani Israel. This is a place that revelation was revealed to the best of creations. These are the best people that ever walked the earth, those who called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they persevered through all the hardships in dealing with the people of of Bani Israel. At the beginning, when did the Muslims enter Bayt al-Maqdis? The Muslims entered Bayt al-Maqdis in an amazing manner, amazing way, because the Muslims were the most just. People wanted the Muslims to come so that the oppressors, the cities that were being oppressed, because anytime you don't have Islam, there's oppression, especially in the old days. There are tyrants and there are people who took advantage of the weak and the poor. So during the 15th year after the Hijrah, so 15 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the Khilafah of who? Khilafah Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. The leaders, the governors and the leaders of Bayt al-Maqdis, when the Muslims came in, they didn't come in like the Christians did and destroyed Bayt al-Maqdis and others who came into other towns and destroyed it and so forth. How did the Muslims enter? The Muslims, when they were victorious, they were given the keys. In fact, because the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis were very, very important, and it's a big city, the person, the people in charge, the leaders, the religious leaders amongst the Christians and the Jews, and the people who were in charge in Bayt al-Maqdis. And of course, it was under, at that time, under the Roman Empire, right? But they have their own governors, like in different cities and so forth. So he invited, he said, I will not give this key to anyone else. This is not just any key. These are the keys to Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem. Right, to them, this is a holy site. But he's, I'm going to surrender this key to no one else except for the Khalifa himself. So they called Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu over. And you know why they called him? They said, because فَإِنَّا نَجِدُ صِفَةً فِي الْكُتُبِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ. Because in our books, the keys were only to be surrendered to a person with these characteristics. And so the person who, imagine, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, what he's saying is that Umar ibn Khattab was mentioned in their books. Umar ibn Khattab, that person who will receive these keys, like, we know who he is. We know his character. We know how he is, how just he is. And when we speak about Umar, what do you think about? Being justice. So their calling said, no, we will surrender. This is even part of our deen. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to give it to no one else except for the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab, because we have his characteristics in our own books. And so Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came, traveled all the way from Medina to get the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis. And when he came in, what did he do? Compare that to everyone else in history. Anyone else? He did not destroy a single temple. He did not destroy a single church. He did not destroy any area of worship at all whatsoever. No house was destroyed. Places of worship for people were left for them. Forget about bombings and sending all over. Like, this is what happened when Umar al-Khattab entered Bayt al-Maqdis. The people celebrated. The people said, Muslims and the people who were living there, they were happy. It was a joyous occasion. Even those who did not accept Islam. And the people who lived there, history will testify and bear witness to what he did. He didn't do what the Yahud, they lived in peace. The Christians, they lived in peace. And it was a time that they were happy. They lived in such peace under the Muslim rule, under the Muslim Khilafah, during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And that's why this is our deen. This is our deen. So no matter what happens, we have principles. We have principles. And of course, other people, they speak about what? They speak about the Geneva Convention. They speak about international law. There's nothing that even comes close. Not only are we not supposed to kill women and children and destroy places of worship, no, even the animals and the trees are safe from the Muslims. And this, when we speak about Bayt al-Maqdis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the end, when the Khilafah is established in Bayt al-Maqdis, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then when that time comes, just wait. Because the hour is almost over. It's almost near. the hour is near. Because there will be one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is what? Amongst the signs is Fath al-Bayt al-Maqdis, and then Qasdintiniyah also, which is Istanbul. And the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that Istanbul, meaning Qasdintiniyah, present-day Turkey, the largest city in Turkey right now, it's under Muslim control, right? But Allah subhanahu knows best, based on what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, most likely it's going to be changed. There's going to be a lot of chaos, a lot of things coming up, and that will also be lost. But there will be an army that will come, and they will be able to retake Constantinople. And after that, anybody know what happens? Then once the Muslims take over, retake, the Dajjal comes. And the Muslims hear about the coming of the Dajjal. And you know, where is he going to come from? He's going to be coming from the east. And where is he going to be coming from? Isfahan is where?
Iran.
With the Yahud of Isfahan. Yahud of Isfahan. So what do you think? So there are two groups of people. There's Islam, right, and there's Judaism, right? Judaism, Islam and Judaism. And of course, then you have the Christians also. Everyone is waiting for who? Everyone's waiting for the coming of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Everyone's waiting for the coming of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. In Islam, there are two people. There's also, like in Islam, what do you have? You have Muslims who are Sunni and the Muslims who are Shi'i, right? Of course, their beginnings were what? Their beginnings were started with Abdullah ibn Sabah, who was a Jew. A Jew who was a hypocrite, right? He was a Jew, but of course, he was the one that started, he pretending to be Muslim, and that's why they split. There was also a kingdom, the North Caucasus. They were known as the Khazarian Empire in the North. The Muslim during that time, there was the Khilafah, and then of course there was the Roman Empire. So if they would, of course, they were polytheists. So they could have, if they accepted Islam, they would have been under the Khilafah. If they accepted Christianity, they would have been under the Roman Empire. So they said, no, we don't want to be any of them. So what did they end up accepting? They ended up accepting Judaism. And so the majority of them are Jews who eventually ended up in Europe. So why did they accept Judaism? Do you accept Judaism? People, you see Jews going around asking to enter the religion? No. So these were people who accepted for the purpose of what? For political reasons. Because then they wouldn't be accepted if they're not taking one of the major religions that people accept and recognize, then they won't be a power that people will look up to, but usually they would, so they accept it because of that. And so what do you have? You have Jews who are like hypocrites. They're like the munafiqun. And then the Muslims, you have two. They were started by the Jews also. They're like, because the majority of them are the Persians. And when they lost, they were like, they still wanted to have that. They had that nationalistic thing. So they still think, we're the Persian Empire. We lost to the. So there was a lot of grudge also. So they're sort of like the hypocrites in the Muslim Ummah, and then there's the Jews from these are not the original Jews. They're not original Bani Israel. So you have two hypocrites. Eventually, those two groups, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, they'll be the soldiers of the Dajjal. Hypocrites of the Jews and the hypocrites of the amongst the Muslims of this Ummah. right? And so what do you have? They're the soldiers of the main soldiers of the Dajjal. And eventually, of course, Islam, inshallah, Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, right? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually give to the Muslims the Muslim victory. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. Allah can give us easily, can give the Muslim. He doesn't need us to do anything. Allah can give the Muslims victory in this Ummah victory. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us also. So you go to trials and tribulations. So those who are being tested, we are also being tested to see if we make dua for them, if we're concerned about them, if we're worried about them, if we're going to do anything. Are we really one ummah? Are we united under la ilaha illallah? So some of these things that are happening, Allah knows that they're happening, and Allah is all wise. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants us to change. Wants us to change. And the world right now is not very stable. Right? And so there's a lot of things going on. And so when the trials and tribulations come, the fitan comes, what's the best thing that we should do right now? It's really the best thing that we can do is really to increase in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the best thing that we can do right now? It's to work locally to strengthen the Muslim ummah. Because this ummah is one. We live in America, we're part of that ummah. So when you strengthen this ummah here, you're strengthening the ummah everywhere. Because anytime somebody's calling to Allah, then you support them. Anyone who's working for Allah's sake, you support them, you help them. Because their victory is our victory as Muslims, no matter where they are. And this is the Ta'ifa Mansura. This is the group that's going to be given victory, and it's going to be help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help no matter what people, no matter who differs from them. And that's why it's very, very important for us right now to strengthen ourselves and also to teach our children to be good Muslims. Because then you're part of that ummah and you'll be part of that victory. So every one of us here, right now, there's a few years, it changes. There's the time of Bush, the spotlight was on the Muslims, right? And then it was sort of like taken away, right? So the Democrats, right? And you have all of this now, they started you start having Muslims in government and there was like a little bit of ease, right? Then the BLM and all that stuff, everything that was happening. And then the Muslims joined them also. And then now, what's the White House speaking about? Now even people in the media, in NBC, CNBC, any Muslim, they're being taken out one at a time. Remember just the last year, 2 or 3 years ago, right? You have even on CNN, you have Muslims who are speaking, who have shows on this media. Immediately when this happens, what happens? All of them are being taken away one by one. So they start with that so that they can control the narrative. So that means what? The focus is going to be back on the Muslims. Right? You have 9/11, focus was right on the Muslims. That was the US 9/11. Right? This may be another similar event where things change for Muslims. And that's why it's very, very important for us to be strong, to be together, to be united. And it's very important for us to seek knowledge. Because in times of trials and tribulations, you will not be able to determine what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, except by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you seek knowledge, inshallah, and be with those who have knowledge, if you have questions and ask, don't act based on your emotions. Because sometimes you might act based on your emotions, you might act irresponsibly or you might do something that may harm the Muslims more. And so sometimes when we have problems, that's when the Muslims come together and are united. That's when we come together. And so that's why I just wanted to, this is not, of course, we always want the best. and we hope for the best, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best. But just be prepared, you know, if things will change. And every single year that comes, the previous year was better. And so you will see, we see changes all the time right now. And there, one of the main things that we have to realize is that no one can help you except for Allah. And things can change very quickly, even here in the United States of America. You know, anytime you have war, anytime you have civil war, the people who are living there, what do they say? Immediately, afterwards, even after the war in Somalia, before it happened, and when it happened, what did people used to say? Like, I never saw it coming. Right? You know, we like, all of a sudden it was so quick. The people in Syria, they said, we never saw it coming. All of a sudden, you know, I had my shops and everything. I was just, everything's normal. Never saw it coming. Ask the people in Ukraine. They'll say the same thing. Oh, we never saw it coming. All of a sudden, hundreds and thousands of people die. And in here in America, it's not far-fetched that right now, you also have different factions, different people, different groups. You have people who support Trump, and you have the Republicans, and you have things that are really not, you know, things can change very, very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. So what we need to do, you need to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then so it doesn't matter what happens around us. If you die with La ilaha illallah, and you die calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I'll end it with this, inshallah. Haram ibn Milhan, he was sent to the people of Najd along with 70 companions. Right, around with 70 companions. And then the disbelievers, they ambushed him. They ambushed him, and then when they stabbed him, they ambushed all the Muslims, and they killed almost all of the Muslims. And these were scholars. These were people, Qurra, these were memorizers of the Qur'an, that these people ambushed. And so it was a bigger loss than even Al-Uhud, the battle of Uhud. The bigger loss than Uhud. Why? Because these were not regular people. These were the scholars that the Prophet ﷺ sent to the people of Najd to call them to La ilaha illallah. When he was stabbed, they saw the blood coming. What did he say? Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. I have succeeded. I have succeeded by the Lord of the Kaaba. Why? Because he died in the state of Islam, going to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned so many hadith about earthquakes and zalazil and fitan, trials and tribulations that come to you like the nightfall. And a person will become Muslim one morning, and he will become non-Muslim in the afternoon, and vice versa also. So the trials and tribulations, we ask Allah to keep us away from them, but at the same time we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help, you know, to strengthen us and to protect us and our families. And I'd like to end it with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefit us and benefit us and that which taught us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam.